Hello, good afternoon. I'm Hannah Baba, host of Cross Currents. And you may not be used to hearing me right now and know this is not a pledge drive, but I am here for something very special today. Today we're kicking off KLW's new arts program, the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden. Now, you know Janae, the award-winning journalist, host of Sights and Sounds segments that you hear on KLW Air and on Cross Currents. But today is the beginning of a new, exciting chapter for Janae. She's kicking off a weekly one-hour show at this time, every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. So in this hour, we wanted to get to know Janae up close and personal ahead of next Wednesday. That's coming up after the news update from the BBC. Stay with us. Welcome back to this special hour celebrating the launch of KLW's brand new program, The Sights and Sounds Show. I'm Hannah Baba, here with the host of the show, Janae Darden. This hour, we'll talk about her upbringing in East Oakland, her path to journalism, and how all of this led to her covering the arts. Janae will also share with us her thoughts on some of her favorite interviews and stories that I'm sure you have loved also over the years. So we are going to have a good time. Janae, welcome.
Hey,
welcome to your own show.
Welcome to my own show, right?
Congratulations on the new time slot and the new show. How are you feeling right now?
I feel good. I'm just so appreciative of you and the rest of the KLW staff and family for being so supportive. So I'm just really, really excited.
So I read online that this is a dream of yours come true.
Yes.
Let's go back to your childhood and tell me a little bit about, you know, how you grew up and why this is a dream come true for you.
So I grew up in East Oakland only child, my mother's only child. Mm. And I used to just dream of being on the radio when I was little. And so I used to have like my stuffed animals because I was only child. And I would interview them with those big pencils you get from Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I would interview them and record it on a cassette player.
So your family was a radio family. Like, you had the radio on.
We had the radio on, like, music. My mother loved talk radio. And it's funny, Hannah, because I used to tell her, I'm like, because I used to want her to turn off, you know, talk music so I can listen to hip hop when we'd be in the car. And I was like, nobody wants to listen to people talk on the radio.
That's forward.
She likes to rub that in, which she should. Mm-hmm. So, definitely, like, yeah, radio was on. Yeah, mm-hmm. In the house. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were some of the other kind of sounds and sights?
Yeah.
See how I did that? And flavors of your childhood.
So, you know, I think of sound. I think of, so my grandfather, they're from Mississippi and Texas. And so they would take me to school, in elementary school in the mornings, and bring me back home because my grandmother would babysit me while my mom was at work. And so in the morning, I would hear B.B. King. Mm. I would hear John Coltrane. I would hear Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. You know, those were the sounds that I would hear. I would, you know, in high school, I may hear, because I lived in a large Mexican community. So I would hear banda music in the mornings. I had a friend who played classical music. Sometimes I would hear that. And then all the languages, you know, just so many different people from different parts of the world living in East Oakland. So I would hear Chinese, Spanish, just all different types of languages.
Mm, all around you, just right where you are.
Just right, yeah, right outside my door was the world. Yeah.
And then there's this other part of you. Little Janae Darden was a blurred.
Yes.
So that means, for our audience, a black nerd.
I was a black nerd. Still am.
You were a black nerd. So what did that look like for you as a kid? Were you into the comics and the sci-fi?
Yeah, I was a good student. So I was on the honor roll, like, pretty much the whole time I was in school. And so I didn't read as many comic books as I wanted to because my mother was like, you read too fast and these adding up. So I'm not, when it comes to comics, I'm not, like, really great on canon. Mm-hmm. But I loved watching Batman with Adam West, and those were the reruns. Mm. So that really was kind of my gateway drug. But I would watch that. I would watch, especially when I found an Eartha kid was on there. And I was, my mom told me it was a black cat woman. I was like, there's a black cat woman? Uh-huh. And that's when I really got into it. But I would watch the Justice League. I would watch the Transformers and PBS. And I loved museums. And I just loved learning things and just having information, you know.
You had a love of books, too.
I had a serious love of books. I love going to reading Babysitter's Club. I love going to the bookstore. Like, going to the bookstore, going to Crown Books or going to Marcus Bookstore was just a treat for me. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And I still am a bookworm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And poetry. So you wrote poetry when you were young. You still do. But when did that start for you?
You know, it's funny, when I think of, like, really who got me into poetry as far as, like, a poet, it's Shel Silverstein. I loved A Light in the Attic. Uh-huh. And I used to say Maya Angelou, but I have to go back even further. I loved A Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends. Mm-hmm. And even some, and it's funny, when I look at my poetry now, I can see the influence there. Mm-hmm. And if the poetry's hilarious, but it was so good. So that's kind of when I started getting into poetry. And I was little. I was like maybe in the third grade. And then as I got older, in high school, I started reading Maya Angelou. And then I started writing my own poetry. Mm. So, yeah.
So you're an only child. Uh-huh. Where, because in my experience, the comics and the books and all of this stuff, oftentimes it's the older sibling kind of ushering us into something or some cousin. But this was all you, like, organically?
No, like, my Uncle Leonard, he would take me to the comic book store. Mm-hmm. So, like, he got me into Marvel because he was like, you into this DC. He's like, you need to grow up and look into Marvel.
Why Marvel versus DC?
I guess.
Are we going to get into this?
We don't have the time. I don't know why. I guess he thought maybe Marvel was more mature. I don't know why, but he wanted me to get into X-Men. He really wanted me to get into X-Men, so maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. But he would take me to the comic book stores, and so that was, you know, part of that too, was how I got into comics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but definitely with animation more so, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back to the poetry. Yeah. And Shel Silverstein. All of our kind of elementary school years were filled with Shel Silverstein poetry. But then you started to write your own.
I started my own.
So let's hear a little bit of your work.
Okay.
And I have that book.
You have my book.
When a Purple Rose Blooms.
When a Purple Rose Blooms.
By Janae Darden. Yes. Can you give us a little background first?
Yeah. So it was originally published by Nomadic Press, which no longer exists. So now it's published by Black Lawrence Press. And this book is a collection of poetry, just of my experience with Black womanhood and mental health. And so I'll read maybe two quick poems. So this is called The Gift. And this is about, my mother gave me a journal when I was 7. And that's when I started just writing anything. Mm. So I've been keeping a journal since I was 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So this is called The Gift. One Sunday afternoon, while happily lost in a pile of Transformers dolls and my 7-year-old imagination, my mother came to me with something in her hand. Bubala, I have a present for you. It didn't light up, but it made me shine. It couldn't hear, but it listened to me. It couldn't talk, but it gave me a voice. It was nothing fancy, but it came from a beautiful place. It cost her nothing, but I knew it was precious. It wasn't made of crystal, but it reflected me. It didn't come with batteries, but it empowered me. She gave me a 6-ring binder, small and brown like me. She filled it with pages, typed up a label at work with my name, taped it perfectly front and center. A book with my name on the cover, my first journal. She told me, write down your feelings, write about anything you want. My mother planted something in me years ago, and it still blossoms.
Mm. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about your mother and her influence in terms of, you know, just helping you on this road to write and to express yourself.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I guess she knew I was always creative. And when I knew I wanted to be a journalist, and I was like, I know that's not an easy path. And there were times, too, I wanted to quit because it's hard. You know, working in this industry, it's hard. And she would always tell me, like, don't quit because that's what you want to do. Like, my mother's one of the few people that's like, if you want to be an artist, go be an artist. Mm-hmm. You know, she really believes in the arts.
That's not common.
It's not common.
It wasn't common for our generation,
no,
for sure.
No, definitely not. And it's still not common, you know. But she, you know, encouraged me to write. She would take me to bookstores. She would take me to the library. She would take me to museums. I remember we went to the World's Fair in Canada in Vancouver in 1986.
What?
Yeah, I still remember that trip. You know, she always wanted me to learn about other people's cultures and definitely our culture, you know, as like Black Americans, but everybody else. She would take me to the Greek festival in the Oakland Hills. Like, she wanted me to learn about culture. And then I had to love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, there was no... She's like, no child coming out of my body and they don't love Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, so she really... When I think of arts, like, she brought so much art home, you know, to me and encouraged me to love the arts from different types of people. Mm. Yeah.
I don't like questions about what's your favorite and what's your, you know, your first. But I gotta know, you know, what was the first piece of, like, music or songs that influenced Little Janae?
Wow, the first...
Or genre.
The first music. It's funny because I'm thinking, like, one of the first cassettes I bought.
What was your first cassette?
I think it was Control.
Janet Jackson, same.
It was either that or like Michael Jackson Bad. It was one of the two. I might have been at the same time.
It was Janet Jackson Control.
Okay.
That was the first one I was allowed to buy.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Weird Al Yankovic.
Ah, Weird Al. I love Weird Al still. I need to watch that movie too. Because, you know, they did a movie on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that was my first, was like Janet Jackson's Control.
And what about movies?
Movies? You know, a movie that stands out for me as far as a movie that I've studied was Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was in the eighth grade and we read the autobiography of Malcolm X and watched the movie. So that was my first time that I really did a deep kind of, we were in the eighth grade, like a deep literary analysis on a film. So not just that film being good was stands out to me, but that was kind of when I learned how to look at different texts. You know, and see how they communicate with each other, whether it's a movie, a book, a song, and how that all incorporates.
Mm.
Yeah. I would have to say Malcolm X.
First trip to the theater. And when I say theater, I do not mean the movies.
First,
like, play experience that you remember.
I remember going to the Nutcracker when I was little. And it's funny because I struggled to stay awake. Not because it was boring, but because it was at night. And I was so excited because when I was little, I couldn't wait to get grown and go out at night. And then what did I do halfway through the show? I fall asleep because I couldn't stay up. But I just remember how pretty, you know, the stage looked, and to see all the dancers. And my mom took me to hear Sweet Honey in the Rock when I was little. Mm. I mean, you know, I would go to those kind of things.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was a kid, Sesame Street on Ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, those kind of, I mean, that's all art.
Right.
You know, that's all art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite form of performing arts, for sure, is musical theater. Was that a thing for you?
I did not get into musicals.
Really?
Not really, okay. Until, like, my 30s.
Mm.
I did not like musicals until I saw Wicked.
Mm.
I did not like musicals.
No,
I love plays, but I didn't. Because I feel like it was getting good, and then they start singing. I'm like, just say it.
So then, are you a fan of Hamilton then, the whole thing?
Yeah, I love Hamilton.
Okay.
I've seen Hamilton several times. Mm-hmm. And it was Wicked. You know, sometimes you gotta just grow up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Wicked. And I was like, oh. Then I saw American Idiot. Then I just kept going.
But you were really
Lion King. Yeah.
Immersed in the arts scene from a young age then. No wonder, Janae.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't until like having this conversation with you and even thinking about the Sights and Sounds show. I was like, wow, I really was around a lot of art.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Janae's book that we just heard from, the book of poetry, Beautiful, is When a Purple Rose Blooms. You could get a copy at your local bookstore or her publisher, Black Lawrence Press. Coming up a lot more, Janae and I will talk about what led her to journalism. And we'll be back in a little bit. Don't go anywhere.
tune in to Tangents Saturday night, 9 to midnight, for Beyond Category Music Radio, including Gaza Corner at 11 o'clock with my up-to-date perspective on Israel's war on Palestinians. That's Tangents Saturday night, 9 to midnight, with me, Dori Stein, on 91.7 KALW, San Francisco Bay Area.
Hey, Bay Area, come on out to 111 Minute tomorrow night for an evening of community, art, music, and culture. At 5 o'clock, we'll feature Three Girls Theater and a preview of their upcoming performances at KALW's live event space. At 6, it's a live recording of our podcast On Repeat with Cheho Letzualo in conversation with DJ King Most. Then King Most will get the room bouncing with Spun Sounds until 10. It's all part of Downtown First Thursday, tomorrow night on 2nd Street between Market and Howard in San Francisco. You can find more info at KALW.org.
Welcome back. I'm Hanat Baba here with Janae Darden, and you're listening to the kickoff for her new arts program, The Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden, which will air Wednesdays at 4 o'clock here on KALW. So, Janae, there's this unspoken tradition between audio journalists of asking this question when we meet for the first time. How did you get into radio?
Right.
How did you get into radio?
Okay, I was in graduate school at USC at the Journalism School Annenberg. And we had to take a broadcast class. I was a print major because I just knew.
You were a print major?
Oh, yeah.
Blasphemy.
Because I said, I'm going to go into magazine. And dang. I was mad because we had to take broadcast classes. And I was... I was like, I'm not going to need this.
She doesn't mean it, everybody. She loves broadcasting.
I said, I'm not going to need this. So anyway, so I was back. We had to take broadcast class. I was like, I got to learn how to talk on air. So our we would have quizzes in the mornings about the news. Mm. And like all the other students were like passing the quizzes. And I was struggling because, you know, it's the news of the world. Mm. And so then somebody told me that the teacher gets the news from NPR Morning Edition. So I started listening to Morning Edition to get the answers to the quizzes. Mm-hmm. And then public radio, even I grew up in Oakland, you didn't really see a whole lot of promotion of public radio, right?
Right.
Yeah. If I saw, you know, it was usually like Sesame Street or something like that, PBS, but not really public radio.
Right.
So I didn't really know much about public radio. So then I started listening to NPR and I was like, oh, this is good. And then I started getting interested in radio, and I took a radio class. And
how did you kind of break that fear of the radio part of it, the speaking, and like that jump from print?
Yeah, you know, it was taking the radio class that helped a lot, and I felt very comfortable. And remember, I had, you know, experience interviewing my toys when I was little.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So I was preparing.
That's a very valid experience.
Yeah. So I went in with, you know, with that experience.
Mm, mm. But you were already doing journalism at USC.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part, I guess, that we skipped. Why did you want to become a journalist? How did we go from you know, early Janae to wanting to become a journalist?
You know, I love, when I was younger, I used to read Essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Essence magazine. And you know, I would watch 60 Minutes when I was 12.
You watched 60 Minutes?
I would, yeah. And I would do the intros when they name all the reporters.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, I'm Mike Wallace. And then I would say, I'm Janae Darden. Listen more. That's what I was when I was a kid.
So,
I used to watch 60 Minutes. You know, and I would watch the news, going back to my nerdom, right? I'm a little kid watching the news. And,
wow.
And you know, so I always just had an interest. It was nothing happened that was like, oh, I want to be a journalist. I just knew I wanted to work in media. Yeah, and write, and I love to write, and I like to talk. So, all
sounds
of those
like you're
things.
Also just curious about the world around you. You're
very
curious about cultures. You're curious about Oakland.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Always curious. Yeah.
Mm. You've had such a dynamic career. What was then your first big break in journalism?
I probably had two big breaks. One was I got to be an intern at Time Magazine in London in 2005.
And I did not know that.
Yeah, that really heightened my passion for journalism. And I was in journalism school, but that really just made me even value.
You went to London?
That was my first time overseas. I spent a summer in London. Uh-huh. That was my first time overseas. And it was in 2005. And when I was there, it was a huge terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. It was like the largest terrorist attack there since like World War II or something like that. Mm. And so I had to help cover it. And so doing that work, and they said, because I looked when the editor was like, you too? I was like, me? Because I'm the intern. He's like, yeah. He was like, go out there. So that wasn't a break. It's like it elevated my career, but it just even made me take journalism even more seriously when you cover a tragedy like that. And then after that, after I graduated, I was applying for like internships, and I went to an internship fair, and there was a woman who was tabling for NPR, and I was shocked because nobody was at the NPR table. Everybody was at like the TV news broadcast table.
Right.
And it's funny because first I went to a newspaper, and the person that was tabling for the newspaper was so mean, and I don't know what her problem was, because she's like, just because you intern at Time Magazine, don't think you're gonna get a job, you know, at our newspaper. So I was like, ooh. So anyway, that's okay. Wasn't feeling that energy.
That's the print world again telling you no.
That was the print world telling you no. But I was still, you know, I was kind of interested in NPR, and it was nobody was at the NPR table. And I talked to the woman there, and she's like, we might have an opportunity for you.
And what was that opportunity?
They had the Next Generation program.
Yes.
And then I did a fellowship at NABJ with the Next Generation program. And that was the first time I hosted anything, mm-hmm. because we had to do student reporting, and we made a student public radio show. Mm-hmm. And so the mentors had to pick a host, and they picked me. This was in Indianapolis, Indiana. Uh-huh. So the first time I sat in a host chair in a radio station was at the news affiliate in Indianapolis.
Do you remember what that felt like the first time?
I wanted to host, but I was still kind of like, well, I don't know if I have what it takes. So when they told me I was the one chosen, this was by the mentors, not my peers. This is the mentors. So these were the professionals. I was shocked. And I just remember it was just such a big deal. And I felt so comfortable when I sat in that chair. I was like, this is right. Feels right.
Is that the moment then that you felt that this is what I want to do?
Yeah. Mm. I was like, I want to host. Yeah.
Mm. Whew. Okay. Let's talk about Oakland.
Oakland.
Oakland is a huge part of who you are. Mm-hmm. Listeners hear that through your reporting and through Sights and Sounds for sure. How did your upbringing in Oakland shape the kinds of stories and the kind of reporting you gravitate towards now?
Well, you know, one thing is Oakland is constantly, the stories are focused on the violence when you look at mainstream stories of Oakland. And as when I'm, to this day, when I watch stories about Oakland and when I was young, I was like, there's so much more to Oakland than that, you know, than the violence. Like, I mean, I grew up around really great neighbors, and I would just listen to people, you know, talk about their immigration experiences, talk about their families, talk about, you know, their culture or just what they're doing for the weekend. And then the music. I mean, Oakland is so pivotal in just how we've contributed to hip hop culture and just all different types of genres of music, you know. So just seeing all of that as a kid coming up, seeing MC Hammer rise, seeing Tupac rise, right? Like, you know, my grandfather from Texas playing Carlos Santana, you know. Mm. And just, you know, not the Carlos Santana's from Oakland, but I'm just saying, like, just seeing all of that, you know, and knowing that there's more to the story of Oakland than the shootings. And then, too, growing up in the crack epidemic, right, just that having that compassion for how that affected our communities. And I'm like, there's more than what's being told. Yeah.
So the Time Magazine, then the NPR Next Gen, and then Oakland was kind of always in your head that this is where I want to be telling stories about. So what happens next in your journey before KLW?
So then the economy crashed.
Oh.
the housing market crashed. So after I graduated journalism school, and then I did the Next Generation, you know, project, then I got hired at NPR NPR West to be a producer for a show called News and Notes.
With so, Ed Gordon.
With Ed Gordon.
Yes, yes. I remember that show.
Yes. And Farai Chadea, who also
who
was here at KLW.
Yes, ma'am.
So I was out of journalism school, I was a producer for a national news show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I worked there for a few years, and then I went to Marketplace for their weekend show.
Mm.
And then the economy crashed, and I worked in mental health. For a mental health nonprofit called Peers, and they had funding to host for a podcast, and so they were like, "We're going to give you this money. We need a podcast on mental health. Do it. Do what
mm-hmm.
you want."
Mm-hmm.
Which you never hear,
mm.
which is rare,
mm-hmm. especially now.
Yeah, and so I launched a podcast with an organization on mental health.
That's awesome. So let's hear a clip because we're going to hear some clips
okay.
today. And this is a clip from an award-winning documentary mm-hmm. that you produced about East Oakland. Why did you set us up?
Okay. So it's called Where is East Oakland documentary. And it's because people have been arguing for years about where the boundaries of East Oakland start and begin. People are still arguing about it. But I wanted to include artists mm-hmm. in this documentary and talking about the history of Oakland, which the documentary became a love letter, basically. So here's a clip of my interview with Fabiana Rodriguez, who is an activist and artist.
An artivist.
That's what it was all in my
head. She's an artivist.
All of that. She lives in the Fruitvale District. Fabiana's home is full of her vibrant, colorful paintings. She developed her art skills growing up in East Oakland. Her lessons came from the classroom and everyday people in the community, like
a chola. My mom hired a chola to teach me how to draw lowriders. Because she was like, I can tell you love art. I'm gonna hire Gina. That's her name, Gina, to teach you how to draw lowriders. And then I would go after school to like a mask making class or a screen printing class at the library. And so I know that as a kid, there was people here and there was services and there was a community that cared about me.
All right, that is a clip from Where is East Oakland,
mm-hmm.
The documentary produced, the award-winning documentary produced by my guest. I mean, this is your show. This is a little weird.
Yeah,
Janae
okay.
Darden. I'm Hannah Baba. Janae, let's talk about stories and journalism, because journalism isn't just about telling stories. It's about whose stories mm-hmm. to tell.
Yes.
And we know that being Black journalists, we are in the minority, right?
In the
media field. And so how did that idea influence your approach to journalism and what stories you wanted to tell?
And I think that clip kind of answers that question.
Mm.
I mean, because you hear Fabiana, that's such an Oakland story, is that a chola taught her how to, how to draw, right? And even though, like, maybe in mainstream culture, a chola may not be, honored, right, in mainstream
mm-hmm.
culture. But I love that she, Fabiana went to art classes, mask making classes, but also, too, went to the chola, too, as well. And that's how it is in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of those people that we may stigmatize, they're still part of the community, and they still contribute to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about that, when telling stories, about whose stories get told. Because even though, like you and I, we come from marginalized groups, and we're in journalism, and our stories, still don't get told
mm-hmm.
all the time. And so
mm-hmm.
I've always, been very passionate about that. I made that commitment before I became a journalist.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to talk to people whose voices we don't often hear, or maybe like the narrative is so narrow.
Right.
Like, I want to help broaden the narrative of people, different communities, arts, culture, et cetera.
Right. And you're mm-hmm. in a unique place to do that because
yeah.
you are of the community. You're not dropping in and reporting and leaving.
Right. Exactly.
Mm. So let's hear another clip from your journalism journey. Why don't you set up this next clip for us?
So this, Hannah, is probably one of the most powerful examples I've seen of how art can save people. I interviewed Regina Evans, who's a costume designer and sex traffic survivor from Oakland. And she and other artists created altars along a strip of International Boulevard in Oakland. Mm. They call it the Blade or the Track, and it's like one of the like hot spots for sex trafficking of underage girls. And so she would put these altars out. And for the girls. And this on this day when I did this story, the Oakland Ballet came out. It was jazz bands. It was just amazing. And so this was during the quarantine, COVID in 2020. So here's my, I guess, bird's eye view of what I saw. The energy is festive on the Thursday Regina and I meet at International Boulevard and 21st Avenue. A jazz band performs for a mass and distance crowd. This music, the decorated altars I mentioned earlier, this entire day has a name. Regina calls it Beloved and Insistence.
Awesome. Can you make these pretty?
Regina goes to an altar with a Ziploc bag full of pennies and strings of pearls. She instructs the volunteers to put the final touches on these captivating altars. They remind me of Regina's grandmother's altars. Volunteers have cloaked chairs and gold fabric that resembles a wrap around a grandmother's shoulders. The girls can approach the altars like they'd visit grandma's house, and they won't leave empty-handed. Resting on lace and gold-colored platters are medical masks and hand sanitizer, condoms, snacks and fruit, sanitary napkins. And along with material goods, the spaces offer cultural symbols too.
I always have grains because they represent the crops that our ancestors picked. You know, so I always have cotton, always have rice, and then I have things that nourished us, you know, like grits.
All right, that is a clip from a Janae Darden story from the Spiritual Edge Project, right? It was. I'm Hannah Baba with Janae right here. So Janae, that story was, you know, really touching. I remember it. Why did you want to do this story in particular?
I just thought it was so powerful that she used art to try and help people who are being sex trafficked.
Like, and it seems like those two worlds, it's hard for them to like meet.
Yeah, yeah. And she, and the fact that she wanted them to know that she cared and that they were worthy. And she, by her using those altars that were inspired by her grandmother's like nightstand, right? It was, and her grandmother's altars. It was so motherly how she did that. And it was funny because Regina would dress, and I don't know if she did, I don't think she did this intentionally. She always dressed like Harriet Tubman.
Oh.
There's a, I don't know if you saw, there's a big mural, because I know you were at Eastside Arts Alliance a few weeks ago. There's a big mural of her on at near Eastside Arts Alliance in Oakland. And it looks like Harriet Tubman.
Oh,
you know, but it's her.
So
just how she brought that maternal, you know, and the art, and it was just, and then that the fact that Oakland Ballet came, you know, so many different people came from the arts community to let them know that, you know, that those girls.
And then
that
your like writing and your storytelling is so descriptive. Like you can close your eyes and imagine every single thing at that place.
Yeah,
and you could tell that Janae is a writer.
Thank you.
What is it about like writing for radio, right? You know what I mean? Because you went from writing to this other medium where there's techniques for writing for radio, right?
Yeah.
The sentences have to be shorter, all this other stuff that the listener might not realize, but it's a whole other world.
Yeah.
And you do it so well. What's your secret?
Journalism school. Journalism school and tears and good editors. You know, this is writing for the ear. You know, that's what I remember. That's what I was taught. You write for the ear. And so I try to paint the best. I try to picture this person on the couch who just got off of work. They got a beer. They just want to hear something. And I'm like, I'm trying to paint the best picture with my words for that person who's not there on the track with me, witnessing this beautiful artistic display.
Yeah.
That's also a form of resistance, you know.
Yeah. Ooh, you can listen to that full story on the Spiritual Edge podcast. Find it over there. And we're about to go on a break, but coming up after the break, Janae is going to tell us what we can expect for the new show. And KLW's executive director, James Cass, is going to join the conversation. So stay with us.
Hey, this is One Way Possible, your vibe curator and selector. It's Wednesday, and tonight I will be with you from 8 to 10 p.m. So join me and catch a vibe right here on KALW 91.7 FM and KALW.org.
A patchwork quilt is just that, a gathering of musical material from diverse sources, sewn together to make something cozy. I'm Kevin Vance. Join me for Patchwork Quilt Saturday afternoons at 5:30 between Bluegrass Signal and Africa Mix here on 91.7 KALW, San Francisco, Bay Area, Ohlone Land.
Welcome back. I'm Hannah Baba here with Janae Darden, and today we're kicking off her new arts program, The Sights and Sound Show, with Janae Darden. So Janae, you are the voice behind Sights and Sounds. Sights and Sounds have been on for how long?
You know, I'm not sure, because I was not the original host, but it's been on for
right,
a while.
Right, but yes. you have been a part of it for...
Since 2018.
2018, right. Your award-winning arts and culture show segments that people hear on KALW Air. It also airs on Cross Currents, yeah. My show. Now it's a whole new chapter, but arts... and culture reporting. Mm-hmm. So last we left you, you were into journalism, you were telling stories of all different kinds. Then you decided, I'm going to lean in to arts and culture. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, arts and culture chose me because I wanted to do hard news, you know. And not that arts, you know, there's some hard news stories associated with arts too. But when I was at NPR, News and Notes, I ended up being a producer covering like entertainment and arts. And so then that's when I really started getting into it. So arts and culture chose me. And then when I came to KLW, I was originally tasked with covering East Oakland. And then the opportunity came for me to host Sights and Sounds. So, yeah. So arts chose me.
I mean, it kind of, let's say, because it feels like you've been immersed in this world of arts and culture throughout your life, but you say you wanted to do the hard news, but then it just pulled you back. But it was already, I feel that it was already kind of in there.
Yeah, it was in there.
Right?
Yeah. But I wasn't like aiming to be an arts and culture reporter because it was kind of to that stigma of like,
that it's fluff.
That
it's soft.
Yeah. And it's like, how many arts and culture positions are out there compared to like, if I'm covering, you know, the crime beat, you know, something like that.
Thank goodness that stigma, I am hoping, does not exist anymore.
Yeah, I hope
because arts and culture reporting is just as important
it
as
is.
Any other reporting.
It is. It is. Absolutely.
What role do you think arts and culture play in helping us understand our communities when we hear a story by you on Sights and Sounds about a community, you know, a violinist in East Oakland?
Yeah.
What does that do?
I think, you know, what arts reflects who we are. Art, you know, tells us what's going on. Art, we can see ourselves in art. Art can tell us what's going on in other people's communities. I'm just thinking about, you know, you can listen to the Beatles, you can, you know, and then you can kind of know what was going on, you know, during that time, maybe in the 60s, right? That there was some political turmoil happening in the world. I mean, so arts even kind of captures our history, right? Art, you know, I love Afrofuturism, the genre. You know, art, you can read Afrofuturism and say, oh, this is what people want in the future because this is not what's happening now, you know? Mm-hmm. So art just explains a lot about what's going on and who we are. It's almost like a mirror, you know, to me. That's how I see art.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm a big believer in this idea of cultural diplomacy as well, this idea that culture connects us, like things like music and food and just arts. And so as you do your arts and culture reporting, is there part of you also that wants folks to connect to other folks that they might not understand, that they might stigmatize, that they might stereotype? through your stories? Like, is that something that you aim for? That understanding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do that in Cross Currents. You do that in The Stoop. Definitely. You know, I hope there's connection there, especially we're going to do live events. So definitely even just bringing people in person to connect. You know, I remember I really encourage people to see the Toni Morrison documentary. Mm-hmm. And I remember at the very end, she was at some kind of fair or something. And there was like a magic mirror or like a play mirror. And there was one person behind one side of the mirror and she was on the other side. And they both had their hands. They both pressed their hands against each side. And she said that's what her work was all about. Like mm-hmm. her hand was pressed, even though there was a glass dividing them, but her hand was pressed up against someone else's. She was like, it's about that connection. You know, that's art. That's what her writing was about. And I remember, too, I did an Afrofuturist reading in Benicia at a bookstore. And I think it was the poet Laureate Vallejo. It was either her or poet M.K. Chavez. When they spoke about what future do they want? What do they want to see in the future? And they said for people to realize that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. So I hope, too, like that comes across, you know, in the interviews I'll be doing, in the events that I'll have, in the stories I report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there a moment from Sights and Sounds, a story, a guest, a conversation that really stuck with you?
Oh, so many. But one of my favorites is Stephen Pastis, who is a cartoonist and creator of one of my favorite cartoon strips, Pearls Before Swine. And I started reading it about 24 years ago. And when I was reading it, I was living in California. And my friend was living in Washington, D.C. because she was going to Howard. Mm. And so they weren't running, the newspapers here weren't running his clips. Now his cartoon strip is like one of the biggest in the world now. But they weren't running his cartoons. Strip. Mm-hmm. And so my friend would cut the strips and send them to mail them to me.
Oh, wow.
That's a good friend. Shout out to my friend Shanita. So Shanita would send me the cartoon strips. And so then I found his email address and I wrote him. This was like 24 years ago. And I said, I think your cartoon strip is awesome. I said, I'm going to write the Oakland Tribune and tell them that they should have it in your newspaper. And so he was so nice. And they, you know, and eventually it did end up there. And so I finally got to interview him. So I was so excited. So here's just a clip of him talking about the cartoon, Pearls Before Swine.
Pearls Before Swine is about a pig and a rat who are roommates. And you address sociopolitical issues in the strip, and the pig is sweet and naive, the rat is cynical, and they have friends like the goat who is philosophical, a zebra who tries to live peacefully and avoid getting eaten by alligators.
Yeah.
And you're a character.
I know. I'm in my own strip. How weird is that?
What character were you 20 years ago? Let me ask that.
For sure, the rat. Yeah.
You were the rat. Okay.
As I get older, I morph more into pig. I would say that the rat was
really?
The star. Yeah, I think rat was more of the star the first half of the strip. And then as the years go on, it's pig. I think you just get, I don't know, softer or your edges get sanded down. And maybe it's being a dad and your kids get older and leave home and the fragility of life and all that stuff sits more in your head. When you're young, you're brash and cocky and nothing can touch you. And then you're older and you're more empathetic, I think. So I become more and more like pig. Hopefully, as the years go on.
So are you more like pig than you are your character, than you are you in the strip?
I share more with rat and pig. I only put myself in there because it's easy to make fun of. Like it's just funny to break the fourth wall and have this and draw this guy in there that just gets made fun of by all the characters.
Janae, I love how you have so much fun in your interviews. Yes. Like, it sounds like you are enjoying the conversation.
I am.
Every single time.
Yeah.
So I really can't wait to hear what you do with this hour that we're in right now. So let's get to it. Your brand new version of Sights and Sounds is Sights and Sounds with Janae, the Sights and Sounds Show.
Yes.
With Janae Darden. What can listeners expect from this new show?
So, first of all, you know, I do Sights and Sounds on Thursdays where people, you know, have their picks right. of things to do. We're still going to do that. So don't worry. Because I saw some people I told about the show, they look like, what? No, we're still doing we're going to rename it Sights and Sounds Picks. But the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden for 1 hour, going to have these really deep, rich conversations. So now, you know, when I talk to people, I treat it like we're there in my living room.
Yes.
And we're just having this really intimate conversation.
Yeah.
So there'll be a lot of that, a lot of fun, all different types of artists. So I'm talking about rappers, I'm talking about ballet dancers, it may be nail technicians who are just really good with art, fashion designers, actors, all different types of art. And also too, like, you know, people, it could be famous people, celebrities, it could be local celebrities. I have had people on that I heard them playing on the street and I was like, you need to be on the show. Mm-hmm. So there'll be, you know, people from all different types of backgrounds, and we're going to have a good time. And then we'll have live events too. So, you know, Sights and Sounds won't just be in studio. We'll be outside. So we'll bring the outdoors, you know, to the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. All right. And your Uber producer, Porfirio Rangel,
yes,
will be at your side.
Yes, he will.
Always, always.
Always.
Always. All right. So next we'd like to introduce KLW General Manager, ED, James Cass is about to join us as well on this launch party, essentially.
Yes.
Hi, James. Are you there?
I am. Hello, you two. What a great conversation.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, James, did you have any questions for me or anything you want
to
add?
Well, I would just like to say, first of all, how excited I am for the show. And, you know, to me, Janae, you always pop through the airwaves, like you pop through the speakers, and I'm excited for you to bring that to this hour, to our celebration of the arts world here in the Bay Area. You know, I'm an arts person.
Right.
My wife is an artist and arts educator. I came to the Bay Area and settled down getting my MFA in writing. And then, you know, I've been part of the arts and culture world for a long time. So to me, you're the perfect representative to move the arts conversation forward, and the Bay needs you. So tell me what you're most excited about.
Yeah, what am I most excited about? I'm an extrovert, James. So I think I'm just excited about all the people that we're going to get to talk to and we get to meet. And because this is a weekly show and we'll have about 3 guests on a week, so I get to talk to even more people, which is more labor for Porfirio and I. But I'm just excited about that. And just to uncover more what's going on in the arts world that maybe we don't know about. Yeah.
James, I have a question for you.
Yes,
for, you know, you are at the helm of this station right now. How was this decision kind of made to have this whole hour, the Sights and Sounds with Janae Darden? Why did you want to include this show and amplify Janae?
Well, I mean, to me, it's a good question, but I mean, to me, it was a simple choice. You know, when David LaTalib told us that he was going to retire, now he refers to it as semi-retirement. We met with him last week, and Janae and I and some others really celebrated him online. Janae, to me, has done such a great job engaging with artists and engaging with the arts and doing it so in such a personable way that really makes, you know, it's what you guys have been talking about. Like, it just shows the vibrancy of the culture of the Bay Area, the people who are from here, the people who come and visit here, the audiences who are part of the scene, you know, and the multitude of arts that happen. And I love that Janae started this interview talking about her relationship to books and comic books and how that spread into other kinds of art forms. Because to me, I love having, frankly, as you know, as macro a view of the arts as we can, but also not be afraid to dive into the intimacy of the individual relationships. You know, and David's going to still do something with us moving forward, but it made sense. We had an hour. We wanted to keep the hour dedicated to the arts, and who better than Janae Darden?
Thank you. And you know, and this, we have been, even before James came, we've been trying to make this happen.
Right.
With Tina, when she was here, we did the Sights and Sounds magazine. So Tina and a funder helped us.
Former general manager.
Yeah,
Tina,
our former general manager. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And so, you know, we launched a pilot. So we were trying then, and then I was sick for a year. And so, and James Cass brought us home. So, all that kind of stuff happened.
The Lord brought you an arts person.
There you go.
James Cass, KLW.
There you go. James Cass brought it home. So thank you, James. I really, really appreciate your support.
Well, I appreciate you. And, like, you know, I don't remember if you said it earlier in this interview or if you just said it in prior conversations. Like, we want the Bay Area to be a place where artists' careers can grow, and more artists want to come, and we don't want to keep losing emerging artists to Los Angeles and New York, and KLW should be a place in which artists can really be recognized and amplified and hopefully grow their career.
Yeah.
And Janae's the person to make it happen.
No pressure.
No pressure.
What are you most looking forward to, James, as you look forward, as we're looking at this show coming next week?
I think Janae is really fantastic at bringing out the best in people when they interview them, when she interviews them. And I think that that's really valuable too. You know, I love the arts, but I love the artist more. And I want to know who the artist is and what they're talking about and what their motivations are and how thoughtful they are about their work. I love the artistic approach. And I think that that's a part of the conversation. But, you know, at KLW, we believe in helping the Bay Area tell the story of the Bay Area. And, you know, how better to map the culture than have a full hour dedicated to arts and culture every week with Janae Darden?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we in the Bay, we just put out so much great art. Mm-hmm. So much great art. Just movers and shakers, you know.
Right. And I was just telling Janae before we went on, you know, before us, it's the news, right? It's the NPR news. It is the BBC news. It is the hard news that a lot of us nowadays, you know, it's tiring, right? Yes. There's a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the country, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And then comes Janae with some joy and some relief, you know, and some beauty.
Yeah.
And to me, that is so, so important, especially in this time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, definitely joy is going to be a huge part of the
show.
Please. And not to
say... Please, give some joy.
No pressure.
And I need it.
And not to say, you know, artists, you know, of course, artists are inspired by things happening, social issues. So not to say we won't talk about that too as well. But the joy, the show will definitely have a lot of joy in it. And to give us a breather. I need it for myself. So, you know, it's for the listener and it is for me too as well. Yeah.
And joy really matters. And I love that. But I also want to say arts really matter too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've learned more about the world. I too am a fellow big reader, as well as a Marvel nerd. But I've learned so much about the world through the books I've read, through the art I've seen, through the dance and the theater I've witnessed, and the pain and the joy. And I think the story needs art. Otherwise, the story isn't.
Right.
You know, the story of the world needs art.
Yeah.
It's beauty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I try every day to, like, take pause and look at something beautiful. Just something. It could be looking at kids laughing. It could be a flower, you know, sprouting, whatever. Like, especially during time like this, like, just to take a time, look, notice something beautiful. It makes a difference in your day.
Mm. Yeah. I love
Thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being on. Janae, is there a sneak peek you can give us for next week, or are we not going to do sneak peeks?
A sneak peek? I'll just say we'll have a poet on.
Okay.
We'll have someone from the theater, mm-hmm. an actor. We may have someone doing a drag parody of the Fresh
Look at you.
Of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'll just
May or may not. May or may not.
So that's a clue to just the kind of shows we'll be having.
Well, thank you very much, James Cass, ED, General Manager of KLW. And thank you very much, Janae Darden. Cannot wait for this to start next week.
Yes.
That's all the time we have. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rangel, and board operator, Damian Miner. Thank you for tuning in. Next week is the official launch of the Sights and Sounds show with Janae Darden. And they have, like we heard, a great lineup of guests in store for you. Until then, we will see you then next Wednesday, right at this time, 4 to 5 p.m. Next up is the Arts Hour from the BBC. Keep it locked at KALW San Francisco.